And instant comments as well by Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly in the last number of days. Not happy with the process by which Fine Gael selected the candidate following the withdrawal of Mairead McGuinness from the campaign. And the continuing fallout across a number of different parties continues this morning. Lots of discussions about what's happening in Fianna Fáil and the likes. With me in the programme this morning to talk a little bit about the outcome of the election, particularly for the government's point of view, is Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport, Patrick O'Donovan. Minister O'Donovan, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Morning, Gerry, and morning to your listeners.
Okay, what lessons are you drawing from the outcome of Friday's election? For your party, I suppose, first and foremost.
Well, the first lesson is to congratulate Catherine Connolly on her big win, and to commiserate with my party colleague who increased her share of the vote from the general election, Heather Humphreys. But as well as that, I think there's a big learning that there's about 200,000 people went out to vote on Friday and went to great rounds to vote and felt that that the ballot wasn't reflective of them, and ultimately, look, their vote didn't count, but they still went out, and they went out in huge numbers. They're a big cohort of people that we have to understand. Well, why are they going out to vote in the full knowledge that their vote won't count? And B, what is this that they're upset about that we have to try and understand and work better to make sure that they're represented both in the political system and on the ballot paper. That really is the biggest learning, because I think the number of people that spoiled their votes and went out and consciously decided to write a whole pile of different things, and I saw a lot of it in the Crown Centre in Adair, they left nothing to the imagination in some cases as to how they felt. So there's a variety of different reasons, but there's ultimately a lot of people who feel that maybe Ireland has shifted particularly in a direction in the last number of years, and they might want to shift it back to some degree. And that, I think, is something that we have to take into our own consciousness going forward.
What about your own party, though, and how it handled its selection of the candidate after Mairead McGuinness withdrew because of health concerns? Sean Kelly, not mincing his words, feels he was shafted in being denied a chance to contest the presidential election.
Yeah, well, for people that are outside of the Fine Gael election process, just to be very clear, the process is laid down by the membership of the party, adapted at an Ardesh, that in order to become a presidential candidate, you need, first of all, 20 members of the Oireachtas. Now, when Mairead McGuinness was getting that, and it was very evident and very clear that Sean wasn't going to get it, he absented himself from the process on Morning Ireland. He told people that he wanted to prefer to stay on as an MEP, that he believed that, the work that he's doing, and he's in Australia at the moment, flying the flag for Kerry in Australia, that he wanted to continue doing that work. He gets a huge vote as an MEP. So naturally, when Mairead got sicked in, everybody's assumption was that Sean wanted to stay on in Europe. And I think that, it's very
evident.
Was he
not just acquiescing to the political reality of the situation? I mean, the plan was in place, had been in place for years, a popular candidate, so he knew he wasn't going to win. However, when things changed, and they did, he felt there was then a chance, but he felt that it was closed off, particularly by the leadership of the party. You can talk all you like about processes, but this was closed off really by the leadership of the party. Power was used, the planning of the party was marshalled, and it was a clear choice of the leadership that
if that was the case, Gerry, and if that was the case, which it wasn't, it was within the gift of Simon Harris when Mairead McGuinness decided to drop out for health reasons. It was his gift to actually impose a candidate and not to open up the process again. So that doesn't seem true at all. The reality is there was no compulsion on Simon Harris to run a second process. Once the first candidate had been selected and unfortunately had to step back from the election, it was within his gift to decide, I pluck a name out of a hat. He didn't. He opened up the process again, and the National Executive opened it up again. And Heather Humphreys hit the phones early and obviously, hit the ground running and got her 20 signatures. She didn't even get 20 signatures. I think she got close to maybe 34 four or five signatures. But it's irrelevant. You know, they, we all knew for the last 7 years that this election was coming up. So it wasn't exactly
bouncing. Is he wrong in what he says? Everyone knew I was going to be the candidate. Within an hour of declaring that I was a candidate, Heather Humphreys declared that she was a candidate. And within an hour of that, basically, it was all over. Nearly all the members of the parliamentary party came out saying they were going for Heather, which meant I couldn't get the 20 required.
Well, I'm reminded of the reeling in the years of the 1977 general election. Not that I remember the 1977 general election, but I remember the, it's often shown there, reeling in the years 1977. It's a great one because it's the year I was born. And Frank Klusky was asked why he didn't get elected in the Dublin constituency. And he said, I didn't get elected because I didn't get enough votes. Like, I mean, I don't think it's fair to say that Heather Humphreys was anointed. The reality is that the vast majority of the Fine Gael parliamentary party who had worked with her and worked alongside her and who whose constituents, including in Kerry, had done really well out of Heather's work as Minister for Social Protection, Enterprise, Rural Development and everything else, decided to back her. It wasn't that we weren't backing, not backing somebody else. It was that we felt that having traversed the entire country, not just the province of Munster and South Leinster, but the entire country for the last God only knows how many years, that she was a good candidate. And bear in mind, up until the time that Sinn Féin swung their support behind Catherine Connolly. Catherine Connolly was actually in fourth place in the opinion polls, and we're now all believers in the opinion polls because we're told that they were all accurate. So the reality is that, you know, Sinn Féin left this election, as I said the other day, on the pitch. Had they run a candidate, they probably would have won it. And they must be looking on to Smyrna and saying, why were we the only party that is Fine Gael? Fine Gael were the only party to run a candidate, and Heather Humphreys got support from independents that maybe other Fine Gael candidates wouldn't have got. I mean, the Dáil Éireann backed her, you know, Marion Harkin backed her, Sean Kenny backed her, Noel Grealish backed her. I'm not so sure that if there was, for instance, if there's Patrick O'Donovan, for instance, running, would I get the same level of support amongst independents? And a lot of those independents in their groupings and their supporters voted for her. I mean, the party, the percentage vote here in County Limerick went up from the general election. And the other main talking point is the fact that there was no Fianna Fáil candidate coming behind Heather Humphreys that had a decent amount of transfers. In fact, he didn't have any transfers at all because most, it seems to me, most of the Fianna Fáil vote went hook, line and sinker to Catherine Connolly, because where else would it have gone?
Are there concerns for you in terms of Catherine Connolly's campaign, how effective it was, how well it seems all the left parties, the United Left Alliance, worked together to try and get her elected, that they may try and replicate that whenever there is another election?
Well, sure, they've put that to bed already that they're not going to do that. They've already said in the Galway West by-election that the normal rules of engagement, you know, are going to be brought back, and they're going to start fighting like cats again. But the thing about it is that Heather Humphreys was up against six different parties, six different press offices, the wealthiest party in the state, Sinn Féin. They have an awful lot of money between them. You know, they had a huge amount of resources, professional resources. We have one press office you know, one set of resources. So to increase her vote in the way in which she did as a party, I'm not so certain that, when the horse is bolted, as they say, anybody else would have done better. I'm not so sure when you have six parties lined out against you. I mean, I think in many constituencies, she got an incredible vote. And it shows that if people actually plied their work, that we would have a Fine Gael, for instance, councillor in Killarney, which we don't have, and that we would have a Fine Gael TD in County Kerry, which we don't have.
Okay, something for the future there. Can I ask you just on one or two separate issues on from that? It seems to be a main talking point among a lot of people about the direction the country is going in terms of our economy, in terms of jobs, in terms of, I suppose, the development and the building and the organising of infrastructure in this country and why it takes so long. Have you a view on billionaire tech founder John Collison's opinion piece in the Irish Times saying the country is going backwards? We have too many agencies doing too many different things. We can't deliver projects on time or on budget, and we need a change of focus.
Well, I wouldn't agree with everything he says, but I would agree with an awful lot of what he says. And I think he hits the nail on the head with regard to agencies and the fact that, like, I don't know, do you know the name of the chief executive of MARA, the Maritime Agency? No, you don't. But, like, the reality is, or none of your listeners probably know it, But you know the name of the local minister in either with responsibility for offshore wind or the local minister in Kerry or the local minister in Limerick, to whom you'll direct all of your IRET if, for instance, Mara can't get their act together and get mapping done of the seabed off of the coast of Kerry, Clare and the Shannon Estuary with Limerick to make sure that there's wind turbines put up. Like, nobody knows the name of the chief executive of Fáilte Ireland, for instance. And if something goes wrong in Killarney with bid nights, they'll turn their ire at the Minister for Tourism. In the same way, as I would imagine very few people on this will know the names of the chief executives of the agencies that I have responsibility for, whether that's Commission de Man and Post or RT. But when something goes wrong in any of those agencies, Gerry O'Sullivan lifts the phone directly to me. And he is right with regard to the proliferation, I think, of agencies. You know, at the end of the day, we're elected to do a job and I have no problem in doing it and I have no problem sending over decisions. But I won't send over decisions that I didn't make, and I won't send over decisions that I believe are inappropriate, and I won't send over decisions that I think are not in the national interest.
But all those chief executives aren't elected. You are elected.
Exactly.
Other ministers are elected. The Taoiseach is elected. The Taoiseach is elected.
Exactly.
He's making an argument that you've ceded power and control over the last 20 years to these agencies. Are you going to take it back?
I would agree with an awful lot of that, and I would particularly say that, for instance, at local level, you know, chief executives of county councils, most of the people in County Kerry probably don't know the chief executive's name in County Kerry, and I think that it is high time, for instance, that local authorities become accountable to the Controller and Auditor General and are before the Public Accounts Committee, the same as the HSE and everybody else's. They're literally spending billions, but they get a clean bill of health every year from the local government auditor. Now, I don't know any part of the public sector that gets a clean bill of health, even for millions, let alone billions, every single year. Local authorities and their managers should be before the Public Accounts Committee. They should be scrutinised for their expenditure, because this is money that's voted from the Dáil. And it certainly would give, I think, a greater level of accountability to the electorate in County Kerry and in Limerick and everywhere else. Because at the end of the day, who's going to line out against the county manager and have a go at them? The reality being, and I was a councillor myself for a long time, because, you know, you will want a road soon in your area, you will want houses allocated, you will want work done. So the level of scrutiny that maybe should be at local authority level isn't there. And I think the way that it should be is there only organisations in the state that are currently absented from control by the Controller and Auditor General are local authorities. Hence, we have the problem, I believe, that we have in housing. Like, the number of local authorities around the country that bought houses under compulsory purchase acquisition is paltry. And they have money and they have resources and they're not doing it. And I think it's high time that they're scrutinised under the lamp, week in, week out, put them before the Public Accounts Committee and sweat them out, and I think you'd see an awful change.
But ultimately, isn't it people want ministers to take action? Are you going to take back that level of control, cut through the logjam, cut through the bureaucracy, projects?
Well, I think that would be one element of it. I think actually making people who make decisions accountable, like I have had to do in the department since I have gone in, you know, I mean, it has. I think that any of the people that listen...
makes things happen quicker.
Well, I think anybody listening would look at the way in which I've handled the issues in my department since I went in there. It's been different. But I would still believe that at a local level, we need a greater level of transparency with regard to where the people's money is going. And whether that's a bridge in Larock or a set of, local authority houses in Ballylongford or wherever. I don't believe that we have the transparency, to be quite honest about it, at a local level, and it is from the bottom up that it needs to come. And I think they need to be before the Public Accounts Committee, and we need to see that change with the Controller and Auditor General. I don't know any agency in the state, and there's a lot of them, they get clean bills of health every year, but it is miraculous that the county councils all manage to do it.
Okay, all right, Minister, one final brief word. I know there's a launch, and you've been talking about this over the last number of days as well. This is the National Archives. They're bringing together a public programme ahead of Census 1926 and the release and the digitisation of those records. You're looking for ambassadors, centenary ambassadors.
So what we're looking for is, this is a great, this is an unbelievable piece of information, really. So we're looking for people who were born pre-1926 or born on the 18th of April or before, so that their names are included in the census, and we want to include them in if they want to, and if their families want to. And like, it's a treasure trove of information. I was shown my own family's entries into Census 1926 the other day at the National Archives from Ardagh in County Limerick. I didn't realise, I knew my grandmother on my father's side was from Kinmare, she was born in Kinmare, but I didn't realise that my great-grandmother on my grandfather's side was a Kerry woman. I always thought she was from Ardagh, but I found out the other day she was Newtown Sands, or Myvan as it's known now. So I suppose for your listeners, Jerry, it gives me an even greater reason. I have a double reason now to be going on Radio Kerry for the family that I have out of there. I have now North Kerry relations and South Kerry relations.
All the better. So it's census 1926 at nationalarchives.ie. Anyone who wants to become or wants to get their family involved.
If you have family members that are that are over 100 or will be 100 on the 18th of April and you want them included, because you know their names are on the census records, you know, we will be doing something over the next 12 months, either collecting oral history, maybe photographing them and things like that. We're conscious of the fact that some people might not be in a position to participate. That's fine. But if there is people, you know, who would like to do something like this, and there's a smattering of them around County Kerry and in West Limerick and North Cork that listen to this, we'd love to hear from you and get your families to contact either my office directly in Newcastle West. They can do it. That's the quickest way. And we'll put you in touch with the department, or we'll get the department to contact you, or directly to the department in the National Archives. And we'd love to hear from them.
Okay, all right. That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan there with us on the line. If you view what he had to say about No Problem, that thanks very much for that. That's Minister Patrick O'Donovan there. If you view what he'd say about Fine Gael, about Sean Kelly's comments yesterday, who says he was felt shafted by the party in the electoral process or the outcome of the election, get in touch with us in the programme. Anyone who read that piece by John Collison, by the way, give us your review. It's on the Irish Times website. Free to read, I think. And some very interesting observations about the way things are done and delivered in the state, the length of time it takes, the infrastructural pressures and problems that we have that he says are not being dealt with in a timely way by the government or the local authorities or the agencies of the state. Get in touch with us. We'll have more on the way.